मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुलं गायते गिरिं कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरु कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर सुभाषकरी को हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम So we are going to begin class with a video. Some of you saw this video if you stayed till the end of the Zoom presentation on Srila Prabhupada. I think it's worth seeing again if you saw it. And if you haven't seen it, you will see it now. And let me give you a little background. This is a Beatles song that talks about Prabhupada. Of course, when they wrote the song, they didn't know it. But it fits perfectly, and Dhruva Maharaj perfectly synced up the words with the photos and videos. So, for those in my generation, this song was known to all of us, and it was kind of a background music for the theme of our life, for the movie of our life. So it's kind of in our blood. I don't know successive generations if they know the song, but even if you don't know it, it works as if it were written just for Prabhupada. Okay. Today, when Srila Prabhupada's disciples were sharing their realizations, one theme that came up was the association of devotees and the special qualities of the Prabhupada disciples and how much they appreciated one another. And this is Prabhupada's magnificence, this is Prabhupada's glory. When Prabhupada came to America, no one in India thought that Americans could become devotees. And this is one of the reasons that Prabhupada was so anxious to bring his disciples back to India to show that they become sadhus. And Prabhupada was once asked, does the spiritual master know everything? Because it seems sometimes he forgets something, forgets a verse, or doesn't know something. And Prabhupada said, no, he's not omniscient. That you don't understand what is the qualification of the spiritual master. Master, the qualification is that he's the touchstone. So whoever he touches, he turns into a Vaishnava. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that you can understand a Vaishnava by how many people he has turned into Vaishnava. So I think of the example, this has come an example in this world that you have a sports team, like a basketball team, baseball, football. And they used to be a good team, their coach retired, and they go for this long period where they don't win any championships, where formerly they won many. And they bring in a new coach, it's the same player, but a new coach, and they start winning. Isn't it? I mean, the ladies probably don't follow sports like that, but the men, they understand. The new coach is coming in to coach this college basketball team. All of a sudden, they win. They haven't won in 10 years. So Prabhupada used to say, we are buying churches in America, and we are not importing. These are your people. So what's going on? The coach has come, taking the same players, and turning them into Vaishnavas. This is Prabhupada's greatest quality, I believe. When people would ask Prabhupada, do you have mystic power? And he would say, What if I pull the raskula, out of my eye? So what? What would that prove? He said, but if you want to see my mystic power, look here, and then he pointed to his disciples. He said, I've made these disciples, these Americans, I've made them sadhus. That is my mystic power. So really that is Prabhupada's greatest quality. And whatever we have in our spiritual life, whatever good qualities you see in us, whatever good qualities you see in any devotee, it's all a reflection of Prabhupada's qualities. It's a reflection of his mercy. I want to tell a story. I just heard this story recently, so I don't know if many of you know this. This story is a perfect story for today, and it's very profound. In Gaudiya Math, there was a split. And some of the property went to one devotee and some of the property went to another devotee. And Prabhupada had said that one of the devotees who the property went to, he was very much disliked by the other godbrothers because they felt that he was taking advantage of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta for his own aggrandizement to acquire property, prestige, wealth, and so forth. And this person, Prabhupada, had asked to sponsor him to go to America, and he wasn't interested. And when Prabhupada was successful, he didn't really acknowledge it. He actually wanted to take credit. So even Prabhupada had unkind words and said he had done many things which were not proper. But at the same time, even though his motives may not have been pure, he was responsible pretty much for establishing Gaudiya Math, bringing Bhakti Siddhanta out into the world and establishing Gaudiya Math. So he did many good things. But Prabhupada said something that was confusing to the devotees, because Prabhupada had said negative things about him, you know, how he was even offensive, I believe, to his guru. When Prabhupada got the report that he had left this world, he said he went back to Godhead. And so everyone was confused because Prabhupada had said so many negative things. So they asked Prabhupada, how was that? That he was offensive and acquired properties of his Guru Maharaj, etc., etc. And Prabhupada said he did service, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta accepted his service. That's why he went back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Is that amazing? You can be whatever, but if Srila Prabhupada accepts your service, that's all you need. It's a very important point. There's also another important point about how the Hare Krishna movement will spread, because sometimes people say, well, Prabhupada is gone, there's no pure devotee here. And sometimes they quote the verse in Nectar of Instruction, only Kanishthas and Madhyams are left in ISKCON, their guidance is insufficient. There's no Uttama. The future of ISKCON doesn't look so great. There's no Uttama. This is a completely bogus idea, completely misunderstood idea. In the last days, Prabhupada was telling his godbrothers, said, these devotees are perfect because they will do whatever I ask them. Sincerely they will do. And therefore, this movement will be a success. So like sometimes we say it will be successful in spite of us. But the point is, when you follow the Acharya perfectly, sincerely, you may be whatever. But because his instruction is perfect, Prabhupada said, you are perfect if you follow the perfect instruction. One time in Los Angeles, 1972, Prabhupada was giving a lecture. I was fortunate enough to be there. He said, the movement will go on with you or without you. But if you stay, you will get the credit. In other words, Lord Chaitanya will use you if you're willing to be used. So, we heard today, Nartaki Gopal told us that the story Prabhupada was asked, how many times did you meet your spiritual master? How many times were you with your spiritual master? And Prabhupada answered, I'm always with him. So, today Samapriya was saying, this is not a happy day for her. The disappearance of Prabhupada is very painful. I think all the Prabhupada disciples can say, by far, this was the worst day in their life. Maybe the worst day in their entire material existence, the day Prabhupada left. It was extremely painful. And the days, months, and years that ensued were extremely painful. But you can be sitting next to the spiritual master and be light years away. And the spiritual master may have passed on to his next lila, but he also passed into your heart, and therefore you are always with him. As one devotee said something that really struck me, very beautiful thought. He said, we always say, Prabhupada left, he left on this day, 1977, no longer here. He said, don't say that. He said, always use present tense. Don't say Prabhupada said, say Prabhupada says. Don't say Prabhupada did, Prabhupada does. There's a beautiful story by one book distributor from Los Angeles. He was telling someone about Prabhupada so enthusiastically in so much detail that the person thought, wow, this man is amazing. And he asked him, when did you meet him? And it dawned on this devotee, it sounds funny, it dawned on him, he wasn't a Prabhupada disciple, he never met Prabhupada. But it struck him that this, that he's talking as if he had met Prabhupada, he had been with him. And when the person said, when did you meet him? It kind of shocked him a bit. I never met him. But the fact is, he did meet him. Didn't he? He did meet him. So, if Srila Prabhupada is in our heart, then we're always with him. Beautiful story that I witnessed. I've told this story before, but it's one of the most beautiful stories that I ever witnessed. So, this was August of 1970. Srila Prabhupada was coming to San Francisco for Rath Yatra. This is in August. And as many devotees as possible came there. And most of the devotees in the movement at that time were brahmacharis. So the temple room was a storefront, and it was filled up wall to wall. There was no room, even barely for Prabhupada to get in. And it was filled up with brahmacharis in these polyester dhotis, which had no wrinkles, and they were bright peach color because they never lose their color. And everyone had freshly shaved up in tilaka. So here, Prabhupada comes to the front door, and he sees this room, maybe 125, 100, but there were only like 500 devotees in the whole movement. So it was like, you know, quarter of the movement, Prabhupada saw that storefront. And so Prabhupada stood at the door. He didn't walk in. He just stood at the door for a while, and he was looking around. Which was, you know, curious. We didn't know why, but I think everybody thought, why isn't Prabhupada coming in? He's just looking, and he's smiling. And those of us who saw Prabhupada smiling, we know there's no one in the universe that smiles like Prabhupada. We've never seen a smile like that. And nobody's smile lights up the room like Srila Prabhupada. Isn't it? Nobody can light the room like that. So Prabhupada's at the door and he's smiling. And we're all looking at him. Then he comes in and he sings. This is on his Vyasa song. He sings from Chardava Nalalidha Loka Trinaya Karuna Dhanavanatham. That melody sings the whole Guru Vashtaka. And I was wondering, why is Srila Prabhupada singing Guru Vashtaka? It's like noontime, middle of the day, not generally when you sing Guru Vashtaka. Tattasya kalyana punarnavasya vande guru sri charanarvindam. So there's two mysteries here. Why is Prabhupada standing at the door? And why is he singing Guru Vashtaka? The mystery was revealed later, and it all made sense. Later, Prabhupada told the leaders of that temple, San Francisco, he said, when I came to the door and I saw all those brahmacharis, it was kind of, I believe, it was the greatest number of brahmacharis in one place that Prabhupada had ever seen before. It was a truly a wow moment for Prabhupada, because most temples were, I was in the San Francisco temple. That was one of the biggest temples in America, 25 devotees or so. I was later transferred to another temple with 4 devotees, another temple with 20, a lot of temples had 8. So 125, 150 brahmacharis, that was, you could say, massive, relatively speaking. So they said, Prabhupada told them, he said, when I saw all those brahmacharis, I stopped and I called for my spiritual master, come see. Which makes sense why he was chanting Guru Vashtaka. What was he meditating on? He was meditating on that this is the mercy of my spiritual master. In the early days, Srila Prabhupada asked us to do impossible things. On Prabhupada's mind was one thought. how to make every person on this planet Krishna conscious. That's all he thought about. Every plan Prabhupada made was just a step in that direction. That's what he was thinking. We might make a plan. Oh, let's start this preaching program and we'll go to the college in this. When Prabhupada had a program, he was seeing a vision of that being a piece of making the world Krishna conscious. If you want to know why we were so inspired, that's why. Because we felt, under Prabhupada's guidance, the general, or as Achyutananda likes to say, what does he say? The king of the galaxies, something like that.
Emperor of the galaxies.
Prabhupada is, you met Prabhupada to say, here's the emperor of the galaxies, the one who can... one who everyone should follow. And so Prabhupada's mission was to make the world Krishna conscious. Did we feel qualified? It didn't matter, because Prabhupada gave us the service, he gave us the order, and he encouraged us, you can do it. And he constantly told us, it's not about you, it's about empowerment, it's about humility. It's about the order. And he would always use himself as an example. Now we can say, well, that's Prabhupada. He's a, you know, he came from Goloka, or he's a pure Vaishnava. But he always used himself as an example because he wanted us to do what he did. And he believed that we could do what he did because it's not our power. And what would he say? Why was he successful? He would say, because I had faith in the order of my guru, I am not qualified. He would say that again and again, and people would glorify him. He'd say, no, it's the mercy of my guru, I had faith in my guru. And that's why I'm qualified. I have been given an impossible task by my spiritual master. I have no qualification to do it. And that is why Prabhupada had confidence in us. And his confidence was, we were sincere, if we followed him, we would be successful. That was his confidence. And it was happening. Now, when Prabhupada was leaving, getting ready to leave in October, he had given up. He stopped eating. He said, the body's falling apart, I give up. And the disciples, of course, were pretty much going half crazy because of this. Because this was not something anyone expected. And especially because no one, not one devotee in this movement felt like this movement could go on without Prabhupada. Nobody felt capable of being able to carry on this movement without Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada had given up. And the devotees kept trying to encourage Prabhupada, no, don't leave, we need you. We can't go on. We're not qualified. And they would talk about all the projects. Prabhupada, you said you would go to Mumbai. It's opening in January of 78. You said, and then you can go to the palace in Virginia. They built this beautiful palace. So they were trying to encourage Prabhupada to like get some energy to live, because he didn't want to live anymore. He said, I'm just a bag of bones. What's the point? And they would encourage with all these preaching projects. And then Prabhupada said something that they picked on, which was quite interesting. When they're asking Prabhupada, please stay, please stay, Prabhupada said, Krishna will let me choose. And so everyone's thinking, oh my God, if Krishna's going to let you choose, then why don't you choose? So, Srila Prabhupada, if Krishna will let you choose, why don't you choose? Choose to stay. And so, they kept talking about the preaching. Prabhupada, you know, they would report the preaching. We're doing a science, Bhaktivedanta Institute is doing a science seminar. Life comes from life. Life doesn't come from matter. And they're talking, and Prabhupada's talking. And they're talking about how one sannyasi was preaching to the royal family of Iran, and that royal family was friends with all the royal families in the Middle East, and how big that preaching was, and Prabhupada's listening to it. And at a certain point, when Prabhupada saw the devotee's sincerity, He said, okay, I will stay. Give me something to drink. He hadn't even taken anything in weeks. He said, pick me up, give me something. And everyone was relieved. And during that whole time, what was Prabhupada doing? He was talking about preaching. That's all. Well, the devotees were inspiring Prabhupada, and he was talking about preaching. So what is going on in Prabhupada's heart? What is going on in his mind? I think it's most vivid in the month of October at that point when he says, I'll stay. That's all that's going on. Tell me about this program. Tell me about that. And Prabhupada is giving his commentary and bring in this one. And every devotee is coming and reporting. We distributed so many books. We're printing so many more books. Giving the numbers, the figures. And Prabhupada's inspired. And everyone's saying, Prabhupada, it's because of you we can do this. You can't leave. It's because of you. So, okay, I will try to stay, do my best. Of course, we know that was not Krishna's desire. But it gives a beautiful glimpse into the heart of Prabhupada, how inspired he was when he saw Krishna consciousness spreading. That is Prabhupada's heart. And that's how we become dear to Prabhupada. Nothing more that pleased Prabhupada than learning how his disciples were doing something that would spread the Krishna consciousness movement in a little way or a big way. That is where Prabhupada started. So, I can share my personal experience that the more responsibility I have taken in the service of Srila Prabhupada, the closer I have felt to him. And I think this is really the key to staying close to Prabhupada. We take some responsibility. The bigger the responsibility, the closer you will feel to Prabhupada. Because this is his movement. And the more you take responsibility to spread his movement, the more you feel like, I'm with him. This is his. I'm taking a big responsibility for him to help his devotees, to help his temples, to help his mission, to help the preaching. So, I always feel that these days shouldn't go by just as glorifications of Srila Prabhupada, but they should go by as reflections on what we are doing in his service, how we can do it better, and how we can take maybe a step out of our comfort zone and do something more, because that's always what Prabhupada did with us. He asked us to do things we never thought we could do. But because he asked, we said, okay, we'll try. And it was all about love. It wasn't about being mental. I can't do that. It wasn't about I will feel uncomfortable if I do that. It wasn't about fear that I can't do it. It was about, Prabhupada, you want it, I love you. It was only about love. And that's where the empowerment comes between the guru and disciple. It's all about love. And that's what motivated the Krishna consciousness movement. And even in the end days when devotees were in anxiety about Prabhupada, there were so many intimate exchanges between Prabhupada and his disciples in those days. If you read about Prabhupada's last few weeks, you'll see amazingly intimate, sweet disciples. And Prabhupada's just like an open book. He's appreciating everyone. He's apologizing to God brothers. He's rubbing devotees' heads for doing service. It's just incredible. It's an incredible scene. This is spiritual life. This is where the disciple becomes empowered. So it's not that we can just become successful because we want to. We become successful because we want to serve and love Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters. That's where the power lies. And we see that in Prabhupada. It was Prabhupada's coming to America was love in action. And I'll end with a beautiful story. And if there's any devotees who want to comment or ask questions, we can do that. But Chaitanya Prabhu tells a story that he was invited to a meeting of devotees to discuss the devotion of the gopis. What is that love of the gopis? How pure it is, how high it is. And he said something that I will never forget, that really struck my heart. He said, do you want to know, you really want to know what is that pure devotion of the gopis? I will tell you. When a 70-year-old man gets on a boat and risks his life to come to America to save the world, then you understand. Then you can understand what is the pure devotion of the gopis. And I think that is such a profound realization and statement that we can all meditate on. That, you know, we're looking for the highest love or highest devotion. Look at it in the heart of Prabhupada, whose heart was bleeding, you could say, for the conditioned souls. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Go Premanandi Hari Hari. So would anybody like to share or ask questions?
Question.
Yes.
Thank you so much. How can we be cautious of not using Srila Prabhupada for just going back to Godhead?
Not using him to go back to Godhead? Just as like personal, like,
of course, that's the main goal of our Krishna.
I mean, Prabhupada wants us to go back to Godhead, but, I mean, it's our duty because he came to save us. But as the devotee advances, that becomes not really a point of focus anymore. The point of focus is how to get everyone else back to Godhead, because that's what Prabhupada wants. And so if you're on the bus taking everyone back to Godhead, you're on the bus. So you don't have to worry about it. You're also, I mean, with the plane or the spaceship, how you look at it. But it's a natural state of progression in bhakti that you come to that mood, well, whatever my guru wants me to do, wherever he wants me to go, that's where I will go. That's my happiness. If he doesn't want me to go back to Godhead, I won't be happy there. And so, you know, sometimes I pray, I have a funny prayer. Let me take my next birth in New York, on the Lower East Side, in 1950, in some universe. So when Prabhupada comes, I'll be 16. Or, well, maybe 1947, then I'll be a little older, 19, which is when I join. Let me be a hippie in the Lower East Side of New York. I want to take that. So if Prabhupada wants us to do that, yeah, then let's do it. The fact is that many, many, if not all of Prabhupada's disciples have taken birth to serve him, because Prabhupada said that. You were all sent by my Guru Maharaj. You were all devotees in the last life. And they said, but Prabhupada, we were born in families of meat eaters and we committed so many sins. He said, that's external. Doesn't mean anything. You're all meant to be devotees. So if that's your mode, either you'll go back to Godhead or you'll take birth again to serve Prabhupada somewhere. For all of us to have to engage our intelligence, our wealth, our abilities in anything other than Prabhupada's service is painful. And if we didn't have this service, we would go completely insane. Using, maybe not completely insane, we'd just be bored to death, using our talents, whatever they are, as artists, as writers, musicians, managers, business people, leaders, teachers. What a blessing it is to be able to engage that in the service of Srila Prabhupada, isn't it? Otherwise, so many of us think, okay, what would I be doing if I wasn't a devotee? I know what I'd be doing. I'd be a philosophy professor, speculating endlessly, frustrated at not coming up with the absolute truth. Or I'd be a songwriter writing stupid songs. You know, and look back at the end of my life and go, I never found the truth. I wrote 108 songs and all of them, you know, circled around the truth or were relative to it. We would all be in that position. I made $1 million, I made $10 million, I started a big company, and big deal. And if you really want to be successful materially, you have to work about 70 or 80 hours a week to be the top of your game. So we would sit on our deathbed thinking, what a waste. So to have that opportunity to serve Prabhupada, what a blessing. Isn't it? Those who distributed Prabhupada's books or still do, they know that that encounter, when you give that book to another person, there's like a energy of bliss floating from who knows where, right? It's just like, wow, where did that come from? You know, I got out of the van like tired and miserable and hungry, and I go up to the first person and it's like, something happened. Prabhupada is pleased. I feel blissful. I feel happy. That's all that matters. And as we always say, who cares about going back to Godhead when you're happy? You know, like they say, the liberated soul, they don't care about going back to Godhead because they already are. They just have a material body, but they're not here. So when you please Srila Prabhupada, when he accepts your service, you have nothing to worry about. No matter how fallen you are, no matter how fallen you think you are, no matter how handicapped you think you are in spiritual life, if Prabhupada accepts your service, don't worry. Don't worry about going back to Godhead. You're okay. Prabhupada made an arrangement for us. 16 rounds. Actually, 16 rounds is for losers. I don't want to offend anybody. But Prabhupada said, he didn't use those words. So I like to take Prabhupada's phrases and turn them into common language. Prabhupada said, no one in India, no Vaishnava in India will chant less than 25 rounds a day. So I said, 16, loser. 25, you're pretty much a loser, right? So Prabhupada says, okay, no problem. Then Prabhupada says, 64 is the standard. Many Vaishnavas in Vrindavan chant 128 rounds a day. So, you know, meditate on 128. You know, does that like, look like something you could do? Maybe once a year, once a lifetime, I don't know. So, Prabhupada said, again and again and again and again and again, 16 rounds, four principles. You'll go back to Godhead. How is that possible? Krishna has to do what the pure devotee asks. If Prabhupada asked Krishna, can we cut a deal? These disciples, they're sincerely spreading Krishna consciousness. They can't really do more than 16 rounds. They have a busy day. They weren't born as Vaishnavas. Can we make a deal? 16, four principles. Krishna says, okay, it's a deal. High five, we're in, by Prabhupada's mercy. If you go outside of ISKCON and you tell this to other Vaishnavas, they will say, no, three lifetimes. It takes three lifetimes. Of course, you don't know what, if you're in the first, second, or third, that's another thing. But they will say three lifetimes, not one lifetime. But they will also say, but Prabhupada has the power, he can do it in one lifetime. They actually said that. Not that they will, they said that. So, one time a devotee was very, very busy and there were many, many problems. And his mind was so disturbed he couldn't chant his rounds properly. And he said, Prabhupada, my mind is so disturbed, I can't properly chant my rounds. And Prabhupada said, me too, I can't chant my rounds either. It was such a disturbance. We were being cheated by this man. And Prabhupada told this devotee, he was his secretary, he said, just give this life to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, death will come and take you back to Godhead. And I'm not saying give up your sadhana and just go on the street 24 hours a day. But there's this point that you give yourself, you're under the shelter of Prabhupada, you're in his camp, he will take care of you. You don't have to worry. Just do what he says and forget about going back to Godhead. That's the least of our worries. Our worry is that everybody isn't going back to Godhead. Not that whether we are or we aren't. Our worry is, like I say, don't go back to Godhead alone. You know, who wants to go back to Godhead alone? That would be embarrassing. You get back to Godhead and then Vijaya says, where is everyone else? And you're like, What do you mean? You're supposed to bring, you know? You're supposed to bring everyone on this planet back to God. So, but this will, these realizations will naturally come as you advance. We won't care. Yes.
I once heard from the spiritual master that one day the so-called conditioned soul will wake up in the spiritual world to discover that they never even left there. They never even left the spiritual world. But they will remember just enough of the bodily conception of life that they were in to come to the conclusion that they never want to go back there again.
You want to know if that's correct or not, or that's just a statement?
No, I was just sharing what I had heard from the spiritual master. And I thought that was pretty deep, that we've never even left the spiritual world to begin with. I thought to myself, I said, my God, I mean, this, what a psychedelic. You know, we've never even left the spiritual world to begin with.
Well, it depends on your vision. But there is a difference. We are here separated from Krishna. Conditioned. In the spiritual world, we're unconditioned. So, liberated soul will feel they're always in the spiritual world. But when you go back to Godhead, it's like, kind of like you wake up from a dream and you can't remember it. It's like, what was I dreaming about? Oh, whatever. More like that. Yes?
Can you please elaborate more on how you feel more connected through service to Prabhupada?
Oh, through service? Yeah. Because when Prabhupada was here, the only devotees that had a lot of association were the GBC, and they, not even all the GBC, and some presidents, and maybe more sannyasis. If you were a sannyasi, you could, you know, you could get in the room, no one was going to like push you out. You go on the morning walk. But Prabhupada was sitting in his garden in Los Angeles, and he was talking to his big men. Prabhupada said, big means you follow all the big rules and little rules. Then you're a big man. So he asked, where's Tripurari Maharaj? And he said, he's out on book distribution. And Prabhupada said, oh, he's doing more service than all of you. So even Prabhupada was feeling close to his book distributors. And Pragosh tells the story, one day he came back from book distribution, and Prabhupada was going to his room, and he just happened to be coming back, and they crossed. And Prabhupada said, where are you coming from? He said, I'm coming from book distribution. And Prabhupada asked him questions. He said, oh, would you like to come in my room? Prabhupada wanted to hear about it. Mula Prakriti also, she tells about telling Prabhupada about book distribution. So not only were the book distributors feeling close to Prabhupada, he was feeling close to them. So, you know, if we have the conception that closeness is physical, look at all the divorces. They're living in the same house and they're miles apart, isn't it? And the people in love who are living miles apart, who are constantly thinking of one another. So, and what to speak of it being absolute. It's not material. So I think the problem is that those of you who didn't meet Prabhupada probably think, wish I could have just seen him once. Then it would be, everything would be better. But you're actually seeing him in his book, in his service. Look at all the devotees that saw him, that were with him. Many of you are doing much better. How many times was Prabhupada with his Guru Maharaj? Maybe, Prabhupada said maybe six times. And so many disciples were with constantly. And Prabhupada, he used to say this kacha grihastha has come out successful. They were all surprised. Kacha means dirty. What is dirty? Kacha. They used to say that, right? Kacha grihastha, a dirty grihastha. How this dirty grihastha has come out successful? He was never a main man. But he got the order when he was young, and he did the order like 40-odd years later. He never forgot the order. It was like it was yesterday. When Prabhupada came to New York, he said, I didn't know whether to go left or right, but I always felt that I never felt alone. I always felt I was with my guru. So when you are executing the order of the spiritual master, you'll never feel alone. You always feel, why am I doing this? This is for him. I would say personally, if you're asking personally, I was never happy in Krishna consciousness unless I was doing something that was a little more difficult than I felt I was able to do. And so I've always done that. And that's when I felt the closest, because I have to depend the most on Prabhupada, because I can't do this on my own, so I have to pray. And Prabhupada wrote me a letter and he told me that. He said, that is the humility of a Vaishnava. You take on a service that's greater and you pray to Krishna that I'll never do this, I'll never be successful if you don't help me. And then you manifest humility. So I would suggest everyone take on a little service that's a little beyond your comfort zone, that stretches you a little. Automatically you have to pray to Prabhupada, you'll feel closer. Anything you can do to make this movement better. You know, it's interesting because we see so many problems in this movement. Right? Everywhere you look, there's problems. And I always say, if you see a problem, Krishna has chosen you to solve it. Otherwise, why did you see it? You know that paper that's been on the ground for the last 64 years here and the last year that no one's picked up yet? And you're the only one who saw it? That means Krishna wants you to pick it up, right? So one time there was a painting on the ground in L.A. and Prabhupada was with his servant. And he said, who's responsible? The painting shouldn't be on the ground. The servant said, I don't know. It's not my responsibility. Because he's not living in the Los Angeles temple. Prabhupada said, it is your responsibility. You're looking at it right now. You see it. So if you see a problem, then think of this story. GBC this, the president of this, and this gone this. You see the problem, now it's your responsibility. Do something. You know, anybody can talk about problems. That's easy. And anybody can see problems. That's easy. Do something about it. Then you connect with Prabhupada. That's when you connect. I have this feeling, like meeting Prabhupada someday. You know, like what if you're going to meet Prabhupada? Like you're going to go in his room and he's going to ask you, you knew this was going on, why didn't you do anything? Because when Prabhupada came to Calcutta, there was some problem with the deity worship. And Jamuna was in Calcutta, but she had left. And she came back with Prabhupada, and he saw, and he turned to her, and he said, how could you allow this to go on? And she wasn't even there. So that's responsibility on steroids. That's a high. So if I see a problem and do nothing, I have to meet Prabhupada, and someday he's going to ask me, you saw that problem, why didn't you do anything? That's how I feel. Why didn't I do anything? Because it was uncomfortable to deal with, it was difficult to deal with, and if you're qualified to deal with it, whatever. And Prabhupada's saying, you should have dealt with it. So I like that story, and I think that story can lead us into a greater movement if we all think that way. If you see the problem, you own it. Once you see it, Krishna has chosen you, you see it. Then you don't have to talk about it anymore. You just get to working. Talking about it doesn't help, and it actually makes it worse. It doesn't encourage anybody. Prabhupada Priya is dying to say something.
I just wanted to read a verse here that supports what you were saying, because okay. You were making that point about how, Prabhupada gave us this process, 10, 16 rounds, 12 for 4 regs, stay in ISKCON, and you're going back to Godhead. So some people may think, we say that Prabhupada had the back keys to the back door, we can do it in one line. So if anyone has any doubt, this verse is straight from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's 10 to 31, prayers by the demigods to the Lord in the womb of Devaki. And they say, O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. He's saying exactly that, that the acharya establishes the method, and the Lord accepts the method and enables the other devotees to cross using that same method.
Perfect. Hare Krishna. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the loser method. If you can't even follow the loser method, what does that make you? A double loser, I guess. Forgive me if I have offended anyone. I'm just trying to be funny, not offensive, but I have this talent of offending people, but I don't intend to. Yes, Vijayatma wants to say something. You mentioned how Prabhupada said that his disciples came from Vaishnav in the past and were taken up. So I was reflecting on how Vaisheshika, when he joined, within a few days, he was reading tons of books. And I remember once he was, we were in the Brahmachari Ashram at night, taking rest, and he was chanting very loudly in a sleeping bag. And he said, maybe pull a little bit. And some other devotees like Madhavisa, I remember once he led a kirtan in Berkeley for 6 hours. He was so sublime, the emperor of Sankirtan. And one devotee, Pamsi Vidana Srivasa, he joined and he just picked up the drum and started playing. I was so... and also I can say that I'm very...
Could you say that a little louder? I don't think anybody heard it. Or...
Oh, just the everything, or
you said something about Vaisheshika when you joined.
Yeah,
he told
you within a few days he was sleeping, chanting a number of books, and I remember in the Brahmachari Ashram at night he was chanting loudly while he was sleeping, and Bhakti Vedanta Srivasa, he joined and just picked up on the drum again, it was like playing, and. Madhavisa, he led a kirtan for 6 hours in Berkeley, the Chaitanya Festival, and it was so wonderful. And also like to thank Prabhupada for giving me divine purpose for my life, because otherwise, what are you doing? Just waiting for the next meal? And also thankful for Prabhupada for giving me generic instruction. He told me one thing. He told me to make others fortunate by spreading his Krishna consciousness.
Make what?
Make others fortunate by spreading Krishna consciousness.
Krishna consciousness.
And so he didn't give any specific details. He just let me fill in the details.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhupada. Make others fortunate. That's Prabhupada's heart. As you've been made fortunate, make others fortunate. That is our duty. Anything else? Bhagavatmika, you want to say something? I'm sure you have a million and one realizations you could share. And something must be boiling over. I'm just feeling it. Is that true?
Prabhupada says she was under Dhruva Maya.
She always has many realizations.
I'm totally bereft. I feel so humbled after hearing everyone speaking today. But to refer back to what Pran Govind Prabhu is saying, during the Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon, we were all swept up in that spiritual energy. We could not hold back. We did not sleep. We did not care about. We chanted our 16 rounds and just went through day and night. And that was just Prabhupada's mercy. And he said that, yes, we are running on spiritual energy. And he stood by my side where I was composing. And he said, I dreamt of this in Vrindavan. I don't know how we can speculate what that means, but he did say that right by my side there. Thank you to all the devotees who are so dedicated to your service here. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Raghavan. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gopi Premanandi.
Anybody would like to sing?